What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into At the Podium, episode 13, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and today, as per usual, we have three new press conferences for you. Doug Peterson's post-game presser details the Eagles' success over the Redskins on Monday Night Football in their 28-13 win. He also gives his feelings on their performance. Same goes for Carson Wentz on his day at the office. In the third press conference, Doug gives us some encouraging updates on the injury statuses of Jason Peters and Timmy Jernigan. As we saw, Peters went down last night with an apparent ankle injury, and Timmy Jernigan is dealing with back spasms, but Doug remains hopeful that they will contribute in full this upcoming Sunday for a wildly important divisional game with the Dallas Cowboys. Huge implications in that one. We've got you covered all week with all the news and analysis you'll need here at Bleeding Green Nation. Stay tuned and make sure you're caught up and fully prepared for week 14. And let's kick it over to these press conferences right now.
Well, I think we offensively executed extremely well, especially on that first drive. Thinking back, I mean, I had a nice mix of run and pass and kind of getting everybody settled in. But I thought that, the guys have really focused in, this week and did a nice job. And it was really good to see.
Point of emphasis tonight for the defense was run stopping. Has a problem the last few weeks. Adrian Peterson's a load, except for the one run.
Yeah,
pretty darn good job.
Yeah, I mean, we knew going in that possibly have to stop the run again, and thought they for the most part throughout the game did a nice job of that. I really felt like our corners, quite frankly, were able to come up and make some tackles for losses, or at least some minimal gains on the perimeter when a big back like that bounces outside. So, yeah, they did a nice job.
On the two-point conversion, when you went up seven, you went for two and you got it. I understand that the math is, you go up two scores there. But what is the deeper math there?
Deeper math?
Yeah, like,
gosh, now you're throwing me for a loop. Deeper math was just trust the math and trust to go up two scores. I mean, that was the right thing to do. And, it was the right thing to do. Yeah. I think there's anything deeper than that.
First time this year that you guys won back-to-back games. Are you seeing things start to turn around like you said last week?
I think this group, first of all, a resilient group, and as you know, and I've said that a lot, and this group doesn't let a lot bother them. And I think what you've seen now at these last couple of weeks, we've started to get some guys back healthy a little bit. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. And I think things are kind of clicking a little bit, especially, the offense is kind of, worked through some things and some rhythm and timing and getting more guys involved. I think that's starting to take shape just a little bit, and defense is gaining confidence. The young guys are maturing and playing well, we need that. We need that right now. We need that sort of shot in the arm and that pick me up. And I believe this is the first two game winning streak, this season. And it's a great time to start winning.
Doug, is Corey back to where he was last year with the way
Corey
he's
ran?
Clement.
Corey's. I think Corey's back. I mean, I think he's. The last couple of weeks, he's shown that he's run extremely hard. He's obviously a one of our core team's players. But yeah, he's feeling good, and doing some really good things, running hard.
What's the word on Jason Peters?
On the field, all I got was he got rolled up. We'll find out more later tonight and tomorrow.
Sproles scored his touchdown. He went to the bench. You don't normally do that. And congratulated him personally. Why was that an important moment for you and for Darren and for the team?
I wanted to I wanted to go over and just sort of say welcome back and congratulate him. And he just looked up and just kind of whispered thank you, you know, to me. And he's such a class act and a great leader on this football team. And obviously it's unfortunate his situation and the injuries that have set him back. But for him to come out tonight and do the things he was able to do, and then the guys, I do believe the guys really wanted to get him a touchdown at some point, you know, and it's just, it meant a lot to him, but it meant a lot to the guys as well. And so I just wanted to, I wanted him to know from my standpoint, how much I appreciate him.
What way does he personify the resilience of the team?
It's the way he works, he doesn't let anything, he's one of the guys, one of the few guys that doesn't let anything bother him, quite frankly. Through this injury, he has just battled, and he has worked his tail off every single day to get back on the football field, and so proud of him and what he's been through and the adversity to come out and, you know, get himself in the end zone, get that touchdown tonight. I think it's what he needs. You know, I think as an individual, that's what he needs. It kind of will catapult him this next week and in the remainder of our season, however many games that is, and. He just epitomizes the heart and soul of our football team, and it was really, really good for that to see, you know, for us to see that tonight.
Well, Doug, you mentioned rhythm earlier. Was that the reason you want at least a little bit of tempo early to try to get Carson in the rhythm?
That and we just, you know, a lot of times when you know we get a substantial gain, a chunk type play, I like to kind of get on the ball because the, you know, the play clock is running down, you know, a little bit, and just helps us get on the ball, and then it just helps our offense settle in, our quarterback settle in, and we did it a couple times tonight, just to kind of change the pace just a little bit, and it was effective.
When Sunder sweat center more, so much you're doing that. Is that just part of the game plan?
Yeah, a little bit, and just the way that the game plan went this week. Yeah.
It seemed Carson improvised a lot more today. How much more dangerous does it make the offense when he's scrambling around, extending plays, and creating like that?
Well, anytime he can extend plays with his legs, he's such a good athlete, and he throws well on the perimeter. I think it's just an advantage to the offense, and he was able to do that tonight. Made a nice throw to Nelson Aguilar coming across the field, and then in the second half, I believe Golden Tate a couple times, and just being able to do that just you know, helps us stay on the field and. He's gifted at doing that, and I mean, it's just something that just happens naturally for him, you know, and it's an exciting play.
What worked with Golden Tate so well tonight, and just kind of what have you learned about him the last month when things haven't, you know, necessarily been going according to plan?
You know, I don't know if it's as much Golden Tate as just I think the offense, allowing the offense to work, and just a lot of those throws, Golden Tate wasn't necessarily the primary guy. You know, it's just you kind of get through your reads or you know, a broken play, and Carson found him. So he's beginning, going back to Golden. I mean, he's you know, he's kind of found a rhythm. He's kind of understanding the offense a little bit more. And I think tonight it was really good to see because the ball got spread around a little bit in the passing game, and he had a nice night tonight.
Does the defensive approach change when the team has to switch quarterbacks midstream?
No, I mean, you still have to stick with your game plan and stick to you know, because obviously, you know, you plug the backup quarterback in, but you still have to, you know, stop the run and do those things. But it doesn't change anything about your game plan, you know, moving forward.
Jernigan's case, at what point did the back spasm start, and what's the level of concern about him right now?
Yeah, obviously we'll evaluate him further tomorrow, but they started pregame and then just precautionary just decided to keep him out.
There was a play early. Speaking of Golden Tate, he was over in the flat and Carson kind of had a scramble drill and Tate turned it upfield, I think, and then in the, you know, part of the end zone that was Carson Wentz on the run. How much of that is just a quarterback and a wide receiver kind of being on the same page and knowing how to play?
Yeah, you know, we spend a lot of time in training camp and stuff with scramble rules, you know, and in assignment football when we're down in the red zone. And I want to say that the play was actually designed for Alshon, and it wasn't there, and then he had to move. And then Golden Tate, being a veteran guy, knew how to get himself open and you know, get in a position to make that play.
Looks like the offensive line has played much better the last two games than they did earlier in the season. Would you agree with that? And why? Is it, and if so, why is it all starting to kind of come together for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had a little injury up front. You know, Jason Peters with you know, with Lane and you know, different things, and I think the guys are this time of year. I mean, I think everybody's just kind of settling in and you know, gelling just a little bit, and that group has the last couple of weeks have played well, and you know, I told them before the game that we were gonna, you know, we were gonna have to ride their back again, you know, in this football game, and you know, they embrace that, they want that, and I just think that this is a good time for them to really start coming together.
All right, thanks.
Got you moving, maybe doing a little more improvisation than maybe we've seen in previous weeks.
What was the question exactly?
Do you think with more play action, and it allowed you to maybe move a little more and maybe do a little more improvisation?
Yeah, I mean, just play action and kind of boots and nakeds and stuff are something that we've always, you know, thought was kind of one of our bread and butters, especially on first and second down. And getting the run game going really opens up those things. And so gets me on the edge, a chance to make some plays, guys, a chance to make some plays down the field and underneath and everything. So, yeah, I thought we used that effectively tonight.
Carson's offense had one of the better games of the season. It was good last week against the Giants as well. Do you feel like things are starting to come together for you guys?
I do. I think we're really kind of playing well together, meshing together, kind of doing what we do best, you know, running the ball, kind of relying on those big guys up front from play actions, nakeds, boots, trying to stay on the field on third downs. You know, we got to clean up some things in the red zone for sure. But things are, you know, we left some plays out there, no doubt, but we're kind of starting to kind of mesh a little bit offensively.
I feel like the chemistry is getting a lot better with Golden Tate and getting a feel for him.
Yeah, I mean, every week, every practice, kind of every opportunity with Golden is just an opportunity to just build that relationship, build that chemistry. And tonight he made some great plays. Made some great plays after the catch too, which is big. It was good to finally get him in the end zone too.
Is that kind of like the role you envisioned for him when you got him, and it kind of took a little while to get there?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, Golden's a great player. We feel we got a lot of guys offensively that we can spread the ball around too. So we never truly try and focus in on one guy. We're just trying to go after, you know, maybe the weak link in their defense, or just kind of how to let the play come to you. And tonight he was in the right spot and made some great plays, and we'll keep building from there for sure.
Carson, this is like the second week in a row you guys were balanced, like running the ball as well as passing, you know, especially with Josh Adams. Like, how important is that for you guys, you know, as far as winning?
Yeah, I mean, running the football is really our bread and butter. You know, I think it gets those the big boys up front going, kind of gets the defensive line kind of out of pass rush mode, I think. So that's something that's big for us. And just staying balanced and using that, I think, is really our MO for sure.
On the interception in the red zone?
Yeah, I just forced it. I forced it underneath coverage, kind of got there, and just threw it behind him, and Norm made a great play, and I definitely won, kind of kicking myself, wanting to get back.
Carson, just talk about being in a situation right now where you win, and now you find more life with each win. Just talk about where you are right now as a team, having won and finding that new life again.
Yeah, I mean, it's big for us, especially where we were, now winning two straight and trying to kind of get some momentum going. Doing it against an NFC East opponent is huge, and now kind of setting ourselves up to make a run, you know, to try and do something special here. And I think we're again, leaving some plays out there, but we're finally starting to click a little bit and mesh together. And, you know, we're extremely excited for next week's opportunity for sure.
In recent weeks, you didn't get sacked today. What's been the difference for the offensive line, and how does that make you feel when you know you're not going to get touched the whole out?
Yeah, again, hats off to the line. You know, they played great football game, both running the ball and protecting me, keeping me upright. you know, it's hard to say exactly what the difference is, but again, I think just as an offensive unit, we're finally starting to kind of mesh and play together. And again, we're leaving plays out there. You know, there's plenty that I'm kicking myself I want back, but I think the offensive line is really just starting to mesh and play well together.
Being injured last year, just what is it like having Darren Sproles back, just knowing the journey that he's been through the last 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, having Darren back is awesome. You know, he's a little spark for us offensively. I was extremely stoked to see him get in the end zone. You know, it seems like it's been a while since he's been out there, been a while since him and I got to play together. So having him back in the huddle, having him make some plays the way he did, that definitely gives our offense a little motivation, a little spark, and it was great to see tonight.
Carson, how much does Zach Ertz, the way he runs his routes, the way he's seemingly very predictable, he kind of understands where to be and kind of when to be there, how much easier does it make your job?
Yeah, I mean, it makes my job way easier. You know, having a guy like Zach Ertz, again, you know, it seems like we talk about him all the time, but he just completely understands the game from almost a quarterback's view. Knows where he needs to be, knows coverages, almost knows when I'm going to be hot and when to look early and all sorts of things. So just having another guy with that kind of intelligence, next level intelligence, and then also the way he just runs his routes and gets open. He does a great job, and that's why we keep finding him.
What does it mean to you professionally and personally for him to break the Eagles' all-time single-season record for most catches?
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, I didn't really realize that. At the end of the day, I know he's going to say the same thing. He's just happy we won. But that's good for him, and obviously we still got a handful of games left.
Seems like you've talked about starting fast for 10 weeks now. What was the benefit of that first drive?
It was huge. I think, you know, it almost kind of got the monkey off your back a little bit, kind of. Like you said, we've talked about it a bunch, so we just haven't executed. And this week we did. We made some plays on third down. We got in the end zone there. You know, Golden made a great play getting open on the scramble to finally, you know, seal the drive off. So, again, it kind of just felt like we got that monkey off our back and started the way we wanted to start.
The offense is starting to mesh. How big will that be coming up against an improving Dallas Cowboys defense come next week?
Yeah, I mean, we know Dallas is a great team. They're a great team, a great defense. They make things tough for you. So, again, like you said, just the way we're finally starting to mesh a little bit offensively, it's going to be big for us going down there, and we got our work cut out for us for sure.
Despite Ertz's success, there was a report from ESPN yesterday that a team source said that there have been too many targets to him. What do you make of that, and do you feel that there's any validity?
I don't really, you know, think too much into that, honestly. I mean, the guy makes plays. You know, he makes plays. He gets open. I think our effectiveness rate when we do throw his way is pretty successful. So I'm not – if it wasn't, yeah, it would be something we need to evaluate. But, you know, he gets open, plays great football, and he's having a heck of a year.
Carson, tonight I think gives you the second most 300-yard games in franchise history. What does that mean to you? And are you a bit surprised that you've been able to put up those kind of numbers this early in your career?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know much about the numbers. I know that we left some yards out there. I know I missed a couple. So I really don't think too much about 300-yard games or this or that. All I know is at the end of the day we got a win and we're finally getting some momentum going.
Doug said it felt like the players wanted Sproles to get in the end zone tonight. Was that something you had discussed with him at all throughout the week or even today?
It was nothing we really discussed, but, you know, we all knew finally getting him back out there, what he kind of brings to the offense, like I said, just a little spark, and he's kind of a quiet leader, and everyone just respects how he works, and, man, it was just really good to get him back out there and to get him in the end zone. We were all pretty excited about that.
You had a few big catches towards the end of the game. How reliable has he become the last couple of seasons?
Alshon. Yeah, Alshon's great. You know, another guy that understands the offense, understands defenses, and plays with, you know, just a sense of urgency and getting open. And just, again, he understands the game, and just having his big kind of physical abilities that he has, big target, great hands. It's a guy that when in doubt, you know, I can look his way too. And, you know, even when he's covered, he's not. So, you know, hats off to him. And, again, we have a lot of guys we can spread the ball out to. So I'm pretty fortunate. Thanks, guys.
You won't be able to decipher it, but it's all runs, by the way. It's all runs. No passes on here. Are we on the record yet? No. Good morning.
Lane Johnson seemed to play very, very well, especially as the game progressed last week, coming off his knee and a lingering ankle injury.
How did you see him play, and did you notice that it seemed like you leaned on him as the game went on? I think you ran four straight times in the last four plays of a touchdown drive behind him. Where is he, and what does he mean when he's right?
Yeah, since the Jacksonville game, the injury, and weeks after, he's really in a good place mentally, physically, playing back to the Lane Johnson that we all know he can. And there's times when really that right side of our offensive line has probably been, from a positional standpoint, probably been the most consistent all season with Brandon and Lane over there, and doesn't take anything away from the other guys. But those two and the combination of those two have been pretty good, and what Lane's been able to provide these last few weeks is just that same old demeanor that he's capable of doing, and you do have a lot of confidence, obviously, when you're calling runs to maybe lean that way, or it could be based on what the defense is giving you too, because our analytics show a certain thing defensively. So, but yeah, I'm excited where he's at, and look forward to these next few weeks with him at that level.
What does it mean for your team when he's playing at that level? We've preached, I guess, here for the last 20 years, when you have a dominant tackle, you can kind of build an offense around that. You pay him a lot of money, you give him a lot of responsibility. What does it mean to your team as a whole and your offense as a whole when he's playing to his ability?
Well, you see it with his excitement and enthusiasm after plays, after runs. You see him down the field, whether it's a first down sign or something in the end zone, he's excitable. And that kind of fuels your group, kind of fuels your offensive line, number one, and then it feeds to the rest of the team, because the guys notice that. I mean, the defense notices that, and vice versa. I mean, it plays both ways. But he's playing like the old Lane Johnson.
Doug, will Darren Sproles' role be Monday night? And he told us yesterday that his injury was more than just a hamstring. Can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, obviously he had the hamstring, then there was a little setback, his role, is going to be, without giving away the game plan a bunch, but we got to make sure you can't just say, hey, Darren, here's the game plan. Let's go. You're back 100%. You're rocking and rolling. We're going to put you in. You're going to get X number of touches, you're going to return every punt and do all that. I think that's it's a disservice to him and in fairness to the rest of the guys. But Darren's role is going to be, I'd love to see him back there on some punt returns. Would love to see him get in the mix on some third downs offensively, first and second down, get in there and get, for him it's now about getting back to game speed and getting caught up with that and, the physical nature of the game, being tackled again. But we'll see. We'll see. We've got another day today to see where he's at, physically, but he's doing well and on track to play in this weekend.
As you see, Doug, around the league, there have been two high-profile cases of assault this week. Is there a stance you have or the organization has on if a player has been here or if there's a player elsewhere that you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into all the specifics on the incidences and stuff like that, but
I'm just talking about in terms of a policy from the organization. Is there
I'm not going to get into all the policies, obviously, for protecting the Eagles, but obviously there's not a place for this kind of behavior, obviously, and it's unfortunate, because really two good, great players for their respective teams, and it's just unfortunate, but. It's something that you hope doesn't happen, obviously, and you just hate it for everybody involved because it's not good at all.
Do you ever bring anything if that happens elsewhere? Do you bring it up as sort of a teaching point to your players that look to, obviously, your very high profile position? Things can go sideways very quickly.
With Brett's staff and my communication with the team, we're constantly talking to our players about protecting themselves outside of this building, and they just have to understand that, they're high profile guys. They're going to be in the community. They're going to be in the spotlight, and everybody's a reporter. I mean, everybody has obviously a cell phone, and
can take video. So we just, it's an awareness, you know, understanding your surrounding, where you're at, and listen, your job is to help us win games, number one. And that needs to remain the focus, and then just, you know, protect yourself when you're away from the building.
Do you expect to have Sidney and Rasul for Monday night? And if so, like, will they go back to starting?
Well, Sidney and Rasul have done well this week in practice. Again, we'll get another day today. I would say they're on track to helping us defensively in the game. As far as starting, those are things that, you know, we just got to get through today and tomorrow and see. But they should be available for us, yes, in the game.
Michael Bennett hasn't practiced this week. Is he going to be able to play?
He's doing well. He's done all our walkthroughs this week. Just hasn't performed in practice. We're just giving him, you know, some rest on that toe, and he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
What have you seen from Bennett over the last six to eight weeks from Michael? It seems like he got a little slow start, kind of worked.
Yeah, I think you know, part of that is, you know, you got to get used to the rotation, number one. And of course, when you had, you know, Derek Barnett obviously early in the season and mixing all those guys in, so, you know, you don't get as many reps. I think what you're seeing now is he's getting more reps. Obviously, he's getting more snaps in the game, and he's really become, you know, a dominant force. I mean, he's played extremely well. He's been disruptive, been around the quarterback, you know, in recent weeks. And, you know, he's really kind of, I think, coming into and understanding the scheme defensively, and then obviously fitting into his role.
Your assistant said this week that you've been very even keeled through the ups and downs of the season that obviously hasn't always gone according to plan. Who influenced you to be that way? Why do you think that's important for kind of the head coach to take on that approach?
Well, I think you know, I think a lot of it has to do with my faith, quite frankly. As you guys know, I spend time in the morning just me and you know, reading with God, and just kind of giving me a little perspective during the day. I think that really has been a big help to me and my faith and the way I am. Obviously, my parents, who, you know, instilled in me at a young age. And quite frankly, I think too, the other thing is being around this game for so long. You know, there's so many ups and downs. It can drive you nuts if you let it. And you try to maintain that evenness, you know, mentality. I think that was probably back early in my career, you know, as a quarterback. Just, you know, you never want to let your opponent see you sweat. You want to make sure you stay pretty much calm. Don't show your emotions, you know, type thing. And I think that's been a big part of kind of who I am, kind of shaped me a little bit. And, you know, I try not to let too many things affect me on the outside, even though they might internally. So I don't let you guys get to me very often.
Is Jason Peters going to play? Is he going to be back today?
Jason is dealing with something. You know, it's a personal issue, and I don't want to disclose that. I'll let you talk to him. But very optimistic and hopeful that he plays, yes.
So as we get closer to the end of the season, the outside's going to say, you know, this and this have to happen for you guys to make the playoffs. Looking at all the scenarios, how do you make sure your guys don't get caught up in that sort of thing?
You know, I think because of, and I listened to some of our player comments this week on that same topic, and I think they're right on. I think it's unfortunate where we are. You know, we've kind of dug this hole for ourselves, and the only way is to climb out of it is one game at a time. And I think that's been the focus of the team, been my focus, obviously, this week. You know, we got to control only what we can control. And you know, we got the Redskins on Monday night, and it's going to be a great division battle. And, you know, all the things that they're talking about, we got to do. And we can't worry about playoff scenarios. And, you know, all we just got to make sure that we take care of our business and see if that's good enough at the end.
A couple more. NFC East rival, obviously, you mentioned the Redskins. So there's familiarity. But how much have they changed without Kirk? As a team, they're obviously much different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they rely on their run game. You know, Adrian, I think, has really given them a spark this year in the run game, and you know, they should get Thompson back, I think, and get him back. It looks like he'll be ready to go, and so, you know, I think everything kind of starts kind of with that, and then Colt, I think, is a quarterback that knows the offense extremely well. You see it in his play, you see it in his decision making, and you know, things haven't changed a whole lot. The ball might go to maybe some different guys. It's no different than when Nick played versus Carson. The ball sometimes goes to different guys. That's just different lens and what people are seeing. But I think it's without saying, you got to continue to, you know, either stop or slow the run game and then try to put pressure on the quarterback. That's always been a formula for pretty good success, I think, defensively, and make sure we handle our business that way. Okay.
Hi, I'm Kara Swisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Kara Swisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.